Have you understood that insomnia is driven by a fear of being awake, but you still struggle? You're not finding the relief, the peaceful sleep, the peace of mind that you desire. If so, I'm really happy that you're here because I found a new way to explain what insomnia is truly about, a fear of fear, and more importantly, how we can meet this fear and find ourselves where we want to be.
What a change had been so profound that I looked full at the problem in the face. Like, okay, insomnia, do your worst. I'm not running from you. I'm not going to be scared. It's just, sometimes it's just so simple. Like the truth has to be simple. Otherwise, it's not the truth.
I was so trapped in my head before. When I say my whole life changed, like my whole life changed.
I'm Coach Daniel, and this is the Sleep Coach School.
Again, super glad that you're here because I do have a new way of teaching something that has sort of escaped me. So it's always been kind of difficult for me to explain something that I think truly matters and what is at the core of insomnia, something that is at the deeper level than the fear of being awake. So again, I'm really glad you're here and I hope you'll find this exceptionally helpful. I hope that by the end of this class, you'll understand truly what's been going on and how to meet the struggle that you have been in. And this just actually came to me the other day. I was like taking a shower and I was like, oh, this is it. This is how I'm going to explain it. So I hope I can do a good job of presenting this new idea. So I've broken this up into two sections. And firstly, we're going to talk about how insomnia happened and how it goes from kind of a superficial to a deeper layer of struggle. And we're going to look at three decoupling events. I've never used this word before in this concept, decoupling, but I think you'll find it really, really helpful. And then we'll talk about three layers of befriending to kind of meet these decoupling events in a helpful way. So let's jump right into it. Three decoupling events. What are those? Well, the first one is probably, if you're familiar with the channel, going to be something you heard before. If not, you know, if you're new to the channel, it'll be maybe for the first time. But the first one, again, if you're a follower of the channel, you've heard this before. But the second one, I think, can be like the real eye-opener. And the third one, hopefully too. But the first one is, this is the first decoupling event that we have a stressful event that makes us sleep less. And we then think, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have slept that little. That's the first decoupling event. The thing is that for all humans, when we are under some external stress, some stressful situation, we sleep less. It's a feature, not a bug. It's, you know, we're supposed to sleep less to be vigilant, to be alert, to take care of whatever stress is facing us, right? But if we start to think like, oh my gosh, I slept less than I should have, even given, you know, the stressful situation, then there's been a decoupling here. So the little sleep, the wakefulness, is now decoupled from the initial stress that caused it, and it is now being driven by the fear of not sleeping. So we have decoupled stress and wakefulness, and we have coupled like fear and wakefulness, you know? And now this is, you know, an insomnia scenario where it has a life of its own. Like we're awake because we're scared of not sleeping, and because we're scared, we're awake. And then the thing we have been afraid of happens, and then we have kind of an insomnia loop there. Now, again, I think this is familiar for many, but maybe not this. What can now happen, sort of a second stage here, is that our worries about sleep grow because we're trying to achieve sleep, and sleep is a passive process. It doesn't happen. So we are not sleeping more despite our attempts to do so. And we become more and more caught up in this state of fear around sleep, right? Fear feels very uncomfortable. That is the whole point about fear. We feel like this, like our skin is kind of crawling and we have palpitations, we're breathing fast, we can't think straight, like we're more and more consumed about this one single topic, like it just feels very, very uncomfortable. And what can now happen is we're not only dreading not sleeping, but we're dreading how it feels to worry about sleep and everything that comes along with it, like the exhaustion, you know, the depletion, the panicky state. All that is now something we dread. So what has happened now is like this second decoupling, if you will. Fear is now partially decoupled from not sleeping and is now also driven by the fear of experiencing fear. And so I said it's partially coupled because the fear of not sleeping is still there, but now another fear often becomes actually the dominant one. And it's the fear of experiencing the fear that comes with not finding relief and not finding things getting easier for us and not finding a way out, right? So now insomnia is not so much driven actually by the fear of not sleeping, but it's driven by the fear of fear. And one time this becomes very apparent is when somebody says, hey, listen, like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm sleeping, but I don't feel any better. I've slept okay for like a week, for 2 weeks, but nothing has changed. And this is, of course, because there's now a fear of fear in the picture. Now the fear is like, what if this happens again? What if this was just a fluke? What if I, and so there's a fear of like experiencing fear again. And that can be like, you know, a deeper level that we don't immediately see, you know? But I think that is very, very often what drives the struggle. Now, when we've been sort of living in this fear of fear situation for a long time, you know, things, it's a real rabbit hole. Like, it's very difficult to find ourselves, you know, to kind of discover the way out of this, because like a human emotion that we all feel often, right? We all feel scared, frazzled, anxious sometimes. But when that has become something we now react to with fear, we can see that this can become a, you know, self-sustaining, just self-sustaining loop type situation, right? And we can experience all type of things during this that can seem like really bizarre and strange, like out of body sensations and panic attacks. And, you know, sometimes we kind of feel so completely hopeless that we could get into more of the emotional fatigue, and, you know, we feel depressed. All this can happen due to this struggle around, you know, fear of fear, which can lead to a place where we think something must be wrong with me. Something must be broken inside me. I must be doing something wrong. And we get now another layer, which is like, the thing that seems antagonistic to us is like ourselves in a way. In some way, we can see we're kind of scared of ourselves, or we're worried about ourselves now. And so now there's kind of another like partial decoupling, where it's not even the fear of being awake or the fear of fear in itself that is a struggle for us, but it's like fear of ourselves or of our own experience, a fear that something is wrong with us, right? And this often leads to a place of self-criticism. We're thinking like, why can't I get this? What's wrong with me? You know? Why am I still struggling? And things of that nature, right? So now we've seen how, you know, it is, I think, very true to say that insomnia is driven by fear of not sleeping. That is where it starts. But there are these deeper layers that are also very often there. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're not there yet, but often they have developed at a point, at that stage where you find our channel or you find our teachings. So with this understanding now with us, we will look at how to meet this situation or these situations. And this is our second part of this talk, which is the three levels of befriending. And we'll start with a concept that for many is familiar, which is befriending wakefulness. When we have started becoming scared of being awake at night, which is completely safe, right? And then what can really help is to kind of teach our brain that being awake at night is not anything that is dangerous or harmful in any way. And the thing is, when our sleep struggles were fairly driven, like to a great degree driven simply by a fear of not sleeping, this can be all we need. And I'd really try to shy away from like timelines, and I'm not going to say anything. I'm actually going to stick to that and not, you know, using any words that are used for measuring time here. But I'll say that I think if somebody has not struggled that long with sleep, then that struggle may only have been driven by a fear of not sleeping and befriending wakefulness, learning that, there's nothing to be afraid of. Being awake can't harm me. It's perfectly safe. I don't need to do anything in particular to try to avoid that. That can lead to our brain understanding that there's nothing going on and the insomnia struggle can fade away. What can also happen is that even if there has been some component of fear there, then befriending wakefulness can become sort of a camouflaged way of befriending that as well. Like we say, instead of like lying in my bed, looking my eyes closed and like, I have to sleep. You read a book, say something like that. Then we are willing to expose ourselves to being awake. We're not doing anything to escape wakefulness. And we may have, you know, experienced some fear when we were awake at night before, right? But by saying like, I'm not going to do anything to try to escape that, we can, befriending wakefulness can become kind of a camouflaged way of also befriending the fear, being willing to experience fear without trying to escape it. So it can help even if there's been like a fear of fear situation with this in this kind of camouflaged way. But sometimes that's not obvious to us. Sometimes somebody says, hey, Daniel, like I'm, you know, every night I'm up like watching Netflix, but nothing has changed for me. Well, now what is happening is that we see that the struggle here is driven in all likelihood by fear of fear. And this person is trying to like expose themselves to wakefulness, befriend wakefulness, to escape the fear, to get away from the fear, right? And that can be tricky. So this is when it really helps to understand that, aha, Mindstorm was actually driven more by fear of fear at this point. So what I want to do is actually befriend fear, which is the same concept, like same idea that fear is just the human emotion that everybody experiences. It is nothing that we need to be afraid of, even if it feels very uncomfortable. And befriending fear, what does that mean, practically speaking? It just means that whenever we feel scared and our instinct, our impulse is like, I got to do something to stop this, we can be like, oh, maybe this is an opportunity. Maybe this is the opportunity for me to not do anything, to be willing to experience this emotion and teach my brain that fear is completely safe. It's completely safe to experience fear and befriend fear in this way. And so now we talked about like two, kind of like befriending in two levels. And finally, of course, the third level is befriending ourselves, which is just another way of saying that we can be kind to ourselves. Or this is befriending ourselves is just another way of experience or expressing self-kindness. And for those of you who are like, what does that even mean? Well, self-kindness is really about, I think, how we talk to ourselves and our kind of internal conversation with ourselves. And oftentimes we humans tend to be hard on ourselves and be like, why can't I get this right? What's wrong with me? Like, why am I stuck here? And things of that nature, which is not the way that, let's say, our grandpa would speak to us, or like our best friend or somebody like that. They'd always be like, it's okay, you're going to be all right. Give ourselves a hug. You know, being kind and gentle with ourselves is really, really helpful, especially when there's been this, like, the struggle has been driven to a great extent by us thinking there was something wrong with us. And so self-kindness is the answer really to all the struggles, at least when we understand them. And here's the thing, if somebody hears all this, it can be like, hey, Daniel, why do you even talk about befriending wakefulness or even befriending fear when you say that befriending ourselves really would solve everything that's above that, if you will? If we are befriending ourselves, if we're kind to ourselves and we won't, you know, berate ourselves for any experience we have, won't that take care of the fear and the wakefulness and everything else? My answer to that is yes, but it can be hard to see that initially. And imagine if you had a real sleep struggle and somebody just said, just be kind to yourself. That would probably not be so helpful, because you wouldn't have the understanding that will lead you to see that how self-kindness could really help in this situation. You'd be like, how can you do that? What are you talking about? You know, this is happening to me. This is happening to me. This is happening to me. I've had all these experiences. When you understand all these experiences and these kind of levels of decoupling, the levels of struggle, then you can see that at the end of it, it's like self-kindness is everything, you know? So I'll conclude there. I know there's a lot to digest here. You might want to watch this a couple of times, but hopefully you will have some real aha moments and really see why you may have had a struggle. Even though you've understood how insomnia is driven by the fear of being awake, you may hopefully now see things really, really clearly. And I hope this will lead you to where you want to be, a place of peaceful sleep and peace of mind. Look forward to seeing you soon back here. That was all for today. I hope you found this episode really eye-opening. And if you're looking for something more tangible, then head over to our website, thesleepcoachschool.com, and you'll find several coaching options where our teachings can be contextualized for you personally. If you decide to join, we look forward to seeing you on the other side.